Mr. Douglas Reel too, just talking about your childhood, what was discipline like as a child?
Very strict.
In particular, your father?
Well, my father, yes, he was hard man. Never really, he wasn't too bad. As I say, he was always often out making money, hawking. He used to go out hawking every day and that. And my brother, he was supposed to hawk. I remember there used to be trouble with my mother and father over that because I was young. And they would go out, he'd both yoke up with the fruit. Would go out hawking, and half an hour later, David, my brother, he'd come back. My mother would give him money. He'd go off to the billiard hall. Billiard halls were very popular in them days. And then my dad come in maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night, wet, maybe raining. Where's Davy? My mum would say, oh, he'd just come in there about half an hour. He's just had his dinner and he's gone out. But of course, she tried to protect him, but the point was money. She spent money to say, well, that's all he's took, that's all he's made. And it would be someone to save the housekeeper or something. But eventually it came out, and then there would be hell on her, and my mother would get a good thumping. My dad was a very violent person. She left him once or twice. But she liked to drink. She wasn't a drinker. But all of our family, actually, there were six sisters and one brother, and all the women liked to drink, and he was teetotal, completely teetotal, my Uncle Benny, he was teetotal, but all the girls, women, liked to drink. I remember my Aunt Millie lived in the house above her, and in those days, a lot of people were unemployed, but when they built the new road from Shield Road to the Sunnyside, and people used to get 6 weeks' work on there, to go road, because most of it was done by hand labour, that road, And when they had money, every weekend, row, fighting, thumping, punching, black eyes. And when they had out, she used to take washings in, Who'd help a possum? Thump, 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 thump. Because they lived above with thump, thump every day. And, just to get enough to eat, sort of, because the dole was very, very little. But when he got his turn, twice he got his turn on that road, and got about a few pounds in. And, of course, booze. there was often fights with beer. I've seen men fight on Bloom's ground. They've come out the middle house commercial, down at Bloom's ground, a fight, and then got dark and that, and they would go home and come back on the Sunday morning to finish it. Yes, that's true. It seemed a problem, but
So it was strict discipline when you were a child. You were brought up strictly.
I was with my sister because she made my life a misery. She was horrible. I detested her. It's a funny thing to say about your sister, but I hated her. But she was a terrible temper, and of course she'll clout you, give you a butt over the face and that, and. She used to, I'd come in from school and she used to get my tea, she used to make me eat. We used to make potato, what I call a thing called potato pot, filly up sort of thing. And I hated it. And she'd put it out and eat it. And I'd stand over and I was terrified of it. I forced, the bile would be coming up and I'd be nearly sick and I had to force myself. And then she'd, into bed, come home from school, get me some. I was in bed by about 4:45, 5 o'clock, and I daren't for my life get out of that bed. I'd hear the kids playing outside, at the front. And I daren't get out of bed. Daren't. I was so scared of her, frightened. I fancy having to go to late nights. I had no friends, man. seemed as though nobody wanted this sort of thing. I had a very unhappy childhood, really, you know. I was alright when I got out, and when I could get out, and playmates and that. Because her husband, eventually emigrated to Australia. And he went off, and she had one baby then. But after he went, she discovered she was pregnant. And there's an old woman, a wicked old woman, she lived at the bottom of the street. "Oh, you'll never see him again," she said. "He's off now, he's away, I love you." She said, "Well, I'm going." And she had a will of her own, a mind of her own, of course. So anyway, his mother and father said, "Well, if you're going, we're not going to let you go on yourself." And they sold the house up and everything, and off they went to Australia. Because it was all boats, there were no aeroplanes in them days. There was aeroplanes, but not, you know, the small things. And they went by boat. Well, sent a letter to say they'd be there, but I think they travelled on the same boat. Well, when they got there, he was somewhere up in the bush working. And there was nobody to meet them or nothing. They didn't know him. And they had to go, I think they went to the Salvation Army. And my dad was furious about that because they charged him, you know, so much a night. They had nowhere to go or nothing, but of course they shouldn't have went like that anyway, really. But she had a young baby, and my dad never helped the Salvation Army after that. They used to come knocking on the door, because in them days they did. And he would never ever give them, and he used to give, or he always give them something before that, but he never ever give them any gift of that. Wouldn't have anything to do with them. And they do a lot of good work, really, but that was the way it happened.
You mentioned before that Sunday was a day of rest. Was the church important for yourselves?
Oh, a lot of people went to, not to me. I never went to church. I know Dad never went to church. He wasn't a church-going person at all, my Dad. He wasn't really a religious person. And I never knew anything about it till I was 6 or 7 or so. And then the kids could, you should go to this. There was a thing at the bottom of the street. There was a spiritualist church, because my sister was married in that one. I remember there were a big wooden hut thing. There was Watson's Garage, and next up this big wooden hut thing, and that was the spiritualist church. And I remember being in there once, and that was a funny thing. And we used to go to get out the cold, you know, make a bit of a nuisance of ourselves, really. But I remember my brothers telling me that there was a fellow there who used to go called Elijah Bartle, and they used to go, they were older than us, like, you know, and have a bit of fun skitting and stuff, and they tell me that he was picked up and thrown about 5 yards against the side of the hut, and nothing. Some sort of power seized him, and he was a confirmed spiritualist after that. It was quite a big movement in those days. A lot of people were spiritualists. It was a thing that I think it had more or less hadn't been in, because it was sort of coming in. People used to, there was mediums and that seances and things, sort of thing. And it was quite amusing, really, to a small boy, but quite impressive and all, like, at times. But I was telling them, my sister was married in that spiritualist church. She hired it just for the reception, because she had quite a big wedding, a lot of friends. As regards church, the first time I went to church was a little thing called the Gospel Hall, and if you went there, the kids my age, friends, So you come to the gospel hall, you get a free trip. And so I went, and sure enough, we got a trip to the field at Southmore, farmer's field, and they had races and different sports. And we got some sandwiches and some pop. So that was quite a thing in those days, anyone. And I remember going to another farm along Find the New Road, where you cut off to go to Cartway Heads. There was, I forget his name, I can't remember the name of the farm. I remember the name, I know the name, but I can't remember them. And we had a day there. And of course at Christmas, you got a book, which was a wonderful thing, a book, because books, I was always a good reader, I always loved books. Books are precious, you couldn't afford to buy books. There was no libraries like there is now. The store had a library. The Vic Club had a library just for grown-up members, like. But the store, I went there and I went into the big room, the library. And that man, they said, what does thou want? What does thou want? I thought, I come for a book. Huh? What's your name? I was scared, like. I said, well, Jackie Douglas. Where's he live? What's his father's name? And he went, what's your number? So I told him his store number anyway. And so what sort of book do you want? I was noticing that, because I was only young then. Anyway, he gave me a book called Town of the Apes. So that was the first book that I got from the store library. Nice to go quite regular to that. And then when the public library, first public library, it was in just below the Lloyd's Bank. It's all grown up, car park, not there now, but there used to be a big building there. It used to be a fish shop, Burden's Fish Shop. Used to go in there and have fish and chips, sit down late, restaurant sort of thing. And they took that over and made a library of it. And I was a second member to join, junior member. Me and Eddie Pinkney were stood at that door for an hour. He was first in, and I was second. I loved books. I was always a good reader. You get your knowledge from books, don't you?
How old were you when you started school?
Maybe five, likely. I remember my mother taking us to school. I remember starting school.
Which school did you go to, your first school?
The infant school. It's pulled down now, of course. It was built next to the St. Andrews Institute. It was a stone-built school. There was two schools. Tin school, what they called the tin school, for girls. And there was the infant school. And I remember the first day I went, I cried. Mum took us, like me. Mum took us. I must have been about five. And I cried and cried. And they gave me some clay. A tin with clay and to play with. And eventually I got it absorbed in that. And I thought, this is wonderful clay. So I played with that, like. And I remember, that's another thing that stands in my memory. And of course, my mum came and saw it was like at dinner time. You had to go home for your dinner in those days. There was no meals. And I was fairly happy to go back, like, because, see, I get this clay again. And I remember the one Christmas there, it was Jolly was the school board man, and he acted Father Christmas. And of course, they used to big tree, and they used to put gifts on, different gifts, and I saw this mouth organ, and I went, that mouth organ, I don't know, oh, I hope I get that mouth organ. I suppose maybe the teachers would watch and say, now I have to gaze at that mouth organ. And of course when Christmas came, huge light, I got that mouth organ, couldn't play it, suck and blow, but I was the happiest boy in the world, and I got that little mouth. That was a thing I remember from school. School was them days were hard places. You got walloped. Not when you were infant, but when you got up to the board school, when you were eight, then the teachers were a lot harder on you.
What other memories do you have of your early school life?
Well, I can't remember a lot about it, really. I remember that, just playing with the clay, and I played there, getting that mouth open. I remember vaguely the headmistress. I can't really bring any of the teachers of women in that school, I think. But I can't remember that much about the infant school.
What about other schools? You moved on, I think you said, when you were eight.
I remember the board school.
Where's the board school? Where was the board school?
Still there yet, on Front Street. On the Front Street.
Can you describe that school?
It was a big school. A lot of lads. So it was all boys. Of course, in those days, boys and girls were segregated. There was no mixed classes or mixed schools. All separate. There was teachers used to go for classes like, and of course, I can't go on fairly. I was average, above average, I suppose, in some ways, compared with some of them. Mr. Phillipson, the first teacher, when I went up there, there was Mr. Phillipson, Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Koss, I remember Mr. And Koss eventually got to be headmaster of that school. I think it was East Andy School got. Oh, I didn't get the cane, but I remember there was a boy, his parents were very well off, I think, and they came up here. I don't know, they lived in a flat above the, what is now, it's a carpet store. It used to be Watson's Butcher Shop. And he was a big lad, a lot bigger than me. He was bigger than me, and he was very, very, obviously, man. Kid, I was doing his own way now, that's what. It was a craze that particular type of potato cones. You got like a cone and you shoved a potato, and it was a little piece of potato came, and you pressed the trigger and it compressed and blew the potato out. And we were playing with these cones, and anyway, I hit him on the face. Really, it was an accident, and it wasn't aimed or anything. And he was going to thump me anyway. The whistle blew for us to go and go after school. And I was terrified. I thought, my God, he'll kill us. I was thinking of all things, dodge it, you know, and I thought, I've smudged me book. And I put a big blood on that. And I think that, because he's putting his fist up my leg, this getting with a girl. And I think the teacher must have seen, but anyway, kept us in for 10 minutes, thought, well, it'll go away. But they didn't. And I came out, and there was the crowd, fight. And I just thought, well, I've got to fight. I said, I've got to go and get some paraffin, I've got to go and seal the room, which I had. But then that didn't work. Come on, John. God, he was a bit of a bully, this fellow, where he had no idea of fighting. When it came to the fight, I thumped him on the nose, and he had no idea. He's come rushing in with his head down, he's just going like this. But I just bumped him up, cut him, busted his nose, blacked his eye, and he started to scream and cry. He never came back to school. Never came back. His parents shifted away rather than send him back to school. But he was obviously, you know, the only child and got everything he wanted, sort of thing.
What do you remember about lessons that you got at school? What do you remember of your lessons?
The lessons are, there were the there were sometimes they were hard, sometimes they were teachers. Well, they were all right, you know, but they tended to hammer it into you with with a stick rather than explain things. Sometimes I remember now with couldn't understand how it worked out, you know. And of course, you got things wrong. You used to plant your books in. There was a monitor. You used to come and give the books out. Your arithmetic books and your composition books, you know, the compass. And if it would only explain how it was done, but they didn't seem to have the patience, I think, in those days. They didn't. They just thought, well, you got it wrong. It's your fault. Come and get the cane.
What was discipline like at school?
Pretty hard. I got away fairly well with it, but some of them used to get cane very, very often.
What sort of things for? What sort of things did you have to do to get the cane?
Oh, talking in class, getting sums wrong, which, you know, no matter how hard you tried, if you got a you got caned if you got a sum wrong. Wouldn't instead of taking you and say, well, look, and explain, maybe pointing out where you'd rather it wrong. Of course, at the time, that big classes, 30, 40 in a class, big classes. And some of them were more tolerant than others. Jack Dunn was he was a very popular teacher. He didn't use the cane so much. Mr. Armstrong wasn't bad. But Mr. Seed, he used to wallop them in. But then again, the bigger lads were rough. You know, and they took some control. The big lads. I remember one of them getting flogged. He was for some reason he tapped a teacher, and Mr. Henderson was a headmaster, and he bought a big table, and of course the big screens used to come and make assembly hall, because that's what your program was. You went in, there was assembly. The whole school assembly, and you sang a hymn, and your first lesson was always religious instruction, which was as much good as that piece of paper as far as religious instruction, because what the teachers used to do was use it as a reading lesson, make you read from the Bible, you know, and they used to get some big words in the Bible for you know, pronouncing them and things like that. It wasn't to learn you much, they didn't try to learn you much about. They would use the Old Testament a lot, and just for reading, really. But as I say, this lad, Fatty Hannan, I remember, he just died a few years ago, and he hit it. But there was a table, and on the table another smaller table, and he got hold of him, scruffed the neck, left it up, threw him over that table, and he gave him 12 of a real thick. A thick, twice as thick as your thumb, stick. I had him. He didn't have to make him yowl. I never forgot that. But I didn't have to give him that. But it didn't make much difference to him. Because he was a lot older than me. He was one of the, what we called one of the big lads. And I was only 9. Well, he'd be nearly 14 then. Of course, when you left school, he went straight to the pit. If you lived in the colliery house, if you didn't, you used to get out of the house. Then you, Peter Pitt, well, you've got a lad, leaving school, send him up, it was always a job there, like. There was never any bother about employment, not in this area, because you know, there's always the pits, there's always a job in the pit for anybody could go to the pit and get a job in the pit, you know, some sort of a job in the pit. But the money, of course, wasn't much. When I started, I went to the pit. Didn't have to. My dad didn't want us to go, but I wanted some pocket money. The lads went to pits, so I wanted to go out and, you know. So I went and got a job at East Tanfield.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Mm-hmm. And did you go straight into the pit?
No, I ran along for a few weeks, like, you know, and then eventually I went to the pit, like, you know.
Did you get any qualifications from school?
No. No qualifications. I was left to my own devices. I never used to go to bed till after 11 o'clock at night, you know. Stick it up, and when my sister went to Australia, of course my other sisters both going to school, and then we had a housekeeper come to look after the house, Katie Evans. She was there, but she wasn't much use. She never used to get up early, 10 or 11 o'clock. I remember my aunt coming. That was my grandmother's sister, my Aunt Belle. And I remember she was a tall lady with black, long black skirts, all black in them days. And I remember coming to him, and she asking, "Where's the housekeeper?" "Fat's just in bed." "In bed this time, she says?" A lazy hydrant, she went to the room. She dragged her out of bed, "Get your things packed and out." So she stayed for a week or so, and then she, of course, she had her own family and that. I remember she took us to get a pair of shoes at Leonard's. "You want some new shoes, new boots?" "What boots?" "Them, there's no shoes. Shoes weren't heard of." And it was hobnail boots. When I got my eye on these yellow boots, they were like pigskin yellow. And then I had my heart set. And anyway, I got them. My father went mad, played well, but the lad then wanted them, he's getting them. That's it. She put me on his place. Yeah, Dale. I remember that, but that was another experience that. And I was happy lad then when I got them boots.
So, what sort of employment was available? I mean, it was very much, as you say, a mining area, wasn't it? Very much a mining area around Stanley.
Oh, yes.
Was there any other employment open to you when you left school?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any other employment open to
you?
Well,
there was. There was. You could maybe get a job in the if you could got a job in the store, but that was impossible unless you had some connection. The store was always a good employment. There was other shops, of course, where you get jobs, and there was joiners, and you know, there was other work, but mostly it was mines. Stanley Street, where you could men used to walk up down and go and with hoggers on, you know, short trousers down to the knees, and black. Come from work because there was no bats. It was a common sight to see black people, black, come from the pit, you know. They were a cap and black as I used to come home myself. I walked back, I walked the pit, and come walking from the East Tanfield. I used to walk home. I remember the first 8 and 9 was the top of the 8 shillings and maintenance. They were stripping us off for permanent summit for the union anyway. I wrote 8 and 3, I think, to draw. And I used to get 6 months of that for pocket money.
Did you have to give the rest to your father?
Oh yes, I tip it up. And of course as he got older he got rises, like, you know. But I always had to tip my money up.
So as a 14-year-old boy, what was your first job in the pit? What did you do?
Screens on the screens.
Oh, and what did that entail? What did you do?
Well, you used to pick the stones out. There's a long belt you used to come, and you had to pick all the stones off from the side, you know, out from the coal, pick stones out. I was on the street at the air pit. I went to air pit from there, East Stanley. And it was shocking there because there was a seam there, the busty seam, and it was what they call a rammel, rammel. It was a sort of a stone that was very loose, and it was in the coal, like a layer of it. And it was practically, it's impossible to, it was difficult to pick it out in daylight, but nearly impossible in the pit. And of course, if they could get enough, there was a box, a tin box, you know, a foot square, and they should put the stones in there. And if they could get enough there to weigh a certain weight, the miner lost that tub. Didn't get paid for it. Oh, yes.